Hello, everybody, and welcome to another beautiful Thursday morning. You're listening to Bhavani at IE Green on the Progressive Radio Network. And I have a great show planned for all of you today. My guest will be Natalie Flores. She is the founder of a wonderful nonprofit called Nourish LA, and she started that up when the pandemic hit her community. And I will tell you more about her when she's ready to come on. But first, I want to share with you some things going on in and around the news, some ways you can take action, and of course, share my weekly recipe with you. First, for most of my listeners, since I believe most of my listeners are philosophically aligned with me, we are celebrating. We are so excited to be having a new president, even though the current president has not yet conceded. And, you know, he is just like, you know, all these videos that are coming out of him being a little toddler and kicking and screaming. I mean, that's kind of what's going on here. However, it's really scary because he is firing people in the Pentagon. He's firing people in the National Defense. And he is trying to put his cronies in place now, almost as if he's planning a coup. So it will be really interesting to see how this unfolds. It's quite scary to have such a dictator in our White House when we are supposedly a democratic society. But nevertheless, he has been voted out. No matter how many recounts they do, there's no way that he is going to win. And I am just so relieved. I was really scared. It was down to the wire there. And it is so important for our country to get back on track, to get the respect back from our allies in Europe. Right now, you know, this current president connects more with the dictators around the world than the free countries. And we just are so ready for a change. So I am celebrating and so happy, and I thank all of you out there for any part you did to help bring about this reality. And yet it's really scary how many people still voted for him. You would think that with the way he's dealt with the pandemic and the state of our country and the civil rights movement that's going on with Black Lives Matter, that more people would be aligned with Joe Biden and the progressives. And it's so sad to me that our country is so misaligned. Actually, one of the things I wrote about this week in the news, this is National Diabetes Month. And, you know, so there's a lot of organizations trying to bring awareness to the problem of obesity and diabetes. And the organization called Wallet Hub released a report just this past week on the stats revolving around diabetes and obesity in this country. And wouldn't you believe that all the states that voted for Trump were all the states that were obese? I don't know. You know, it seems like more than just a coincidence to me that the people in the states that vote for Trump don't care about the foods they're eating. You know, even if you don't have a lot of money, you still can eat well. And I know fast food and junk food is cheap food, but it is just more than just a coincidence. You need to look at my website. You know, it's under the In the News blog post. But it's really fascinating. Or you can go right to the Wallet Hub website. But I have links on my newsletter. And if you don't get my newsletter, you can sign up for it at ieatgreen.com. And every week I send out a newsletter that has some take action items, things that you can do, and also things that are going on in the news. I also want to share with you that NOFA New York, which is the Northeast Organic Farming Association, the New York chapter will be having their annual winter conference. And, of course, this year it's gone online. And tickets will be becoming available any day now. But what is available now is applications for scholarships. So if purchasing a ticket is beyond your means, you can apply for a scholarship. And I'm not sure how many they have to give out, but they do have quite a few, and we welcome people to apply for a scholarship to participate in the NOFA conference online. We have over 60 speakers lined up, great workshops, interactive, and if you sign up, you also will have access to them after the fact. So it's really a wonderful, wonderful thing. And what else? Let me see. I also want to share with you some websites that I have in my Take Action. It's really, really important that we all start to help rebuild, that we start helping to rebuild the problems that this administration has put on our country. And our environment has really taken such a hit with the problems with the regulations and the lack of regulations and the reducing of all kinds of rules that helped to protect us. So some of the organizations that I love, Food and Water Watch, Environmental Action, Earth Justice, March for Science, Center for Food Safety. Talking about March for Science, I am so happy that President-elect Biden has already started to put together a task force to address COVID-19, and he has scientists and medical professionals on the task force. What a novel idea. It's just amazing who Trump put in charge of our COVID. Anyway, I'm just so relieved that we have someone competent in office. Also, check out Farm-Based Education Network, Organic Consumers Association, who, by the way, has some great lists to help you shop and buy healthy food. Northeast Organic Farming Association, of course, Beyond Pesticides does great work. People's Action Network, Slow Food USA, if you are a food lover as I am, Slow Food USA is a wonderful organization trying to bring good, clean, and fair food to everybody. The Environmental Defense Fund, and of course, we can't forget the Natural Resource Defense Council. All these organizations are just doing such incredible work, and the more that we all step up to the plate and help in protecting our environment, the better we will be, because we have a lot of building back up to do. So I know we all can't do everything, but everyone can do something. And if we all do a little bit, we can help turn the state of our nation around and try to bring us all back together. So I want to share with all of you this week's recipe. I have a vegan spicy coconut lemongrass soup. And, you know, with the colder weather, I've just been in such a soup mood. And so I'll be sharing lots of soups over the next many weeks with you. Although actually next week I'll probably share my stuffed roasted pumpkin, which is my annual Thanksgiving meal. And so many people request that. So I'll share that with you next week. So I want to share this delicious soup with you. You're going to start with a block of tofu that you're going to press, cut into 1/2-inch thick slabs and press it down, and then you're going to cut it on a diagonal so you have triangle pieces of tofu. And we're going to make a marinade for the tofu, and that's going to be served right laying on top of the soup. So for the marinade, you want 1/4 cup of tamari, 2 tablespoons apple cider vinegar, 1 tablespoon maple syrup, 1/3 cup water, 3 teaspoons of minced garlic, 1/4 of an onion grated. Basically, it's about 2 tablespoons worth of grated minced onion, 1 teaspoon minced ginger, and 1 teaspoon of dark sesame oil. And that's your marinade. And you're going to lay the tofu cutlets down into that and just let it sit for about an hour and let it marinate. And while you're doing that, you can get the soup ready. For the soup, you want 1 tablespoon of coconut oil plus 1 more teaspoon that we're going to use to saute mushrooms on the side, and that we can also use as a garnish. 1 onion that you're going to dice up, 1 tablespoon minced garlic plus 1 teaspoon minced garlic that we're going to use for the mushrooms, 1 tablespoon minced ginger plus 1 teaspoon minced ginger for the mushrooms, 2 scallions that you're going to cut on the diagonal. You're going to separate the white part. We're going to saute and in just a little bit, but the green part you're going to save and put as garnish on the top of the soup. 4 tablespoons of Thai red curry paste. And you can buy that in the Asian aisle at Whole Foods or any type of Asian market. And a lot of supermarkets now even have an Asian section. And Thai red curry paste is readily available. You can also order it online. Then 2 stalks of lemongrass. And you can buy jarred lemongrass, and you can also buy frozen lemongrass if you can't find it fresh. But I happened to be at an Asian market and saw some fresh lemongrass, which actually was the inspiration for making the soup. So 2 stalks of that. 10 cups of vegetable broth or water. 2 stalks of celery diced. 1/2 a bunch napa cabbage. 1/2 a bunch of broccoli. 1 cup of snow peas cut on the diagonal. 2 cups of shiitake or oyster mushrooms sliced, 2 tablespoons tamari plus 1 tablespoon that you're going to use with the mushrooms, 1 teaspoon salt, 1 can of coconut milk, 2 limes that you're going to juice and also 1 for garnish, and 1 package of ramen noodles. Now, I buy the gluten-free millet ramen noodles that are just delicious. They're brown rice and millet, and I highly recommend them. But you can also get just all rice ones, or if wheat is not a problem for you, you can get wheat ramen noodles. And then 2 tablespoons of chopped cilantro, some sesame seeds to sprinkle on top, a lime, and the green scallions are all going to be used for garnish. So right now the tofu is marinated on the side, and so we're going to start to make the soup. You also can cook the noodles according to the directions and drain those, run some cold water under them, stop them from cooking, and just set the noodles aside as well. But you're going to start by heating the coconut oil in a large pot. Sauté the onions until they're translucent. Add the white parts of the scallions, the ginger and the garlic, the celery, and the minced lemongrass. Now, I just want to share with you, I minced the lemongrass. You really want to mince it well, otherwise you have tough strands. You can also cut the lemongrass into larger chunks and take it out after you've cooked it. But you know, the idea is to get as much of the flavor out of the lemongrass as possible. And you're going to cook that for a few minutes. Then you're going to add the red curry paste and add just 3 tablespoons of water to that just to help dissolve the paste, and let the paste cook down for just a few minutes, which will deepen the flavor the same way we do with tomato paste. You're just going to enrich the flavor a little more by sautéing it. Then you're going to add the broth or the water and bring that to a boil. Then lower the heat, add the coconut milk. In just a minute, I want to talk to you about coconut milk. If you go to Whole Foods in the Asian aisle where they have most of the coconut milk, most of that coconut milk has guar gum added to it or some other stabilizer added to it that you really don't want. In the baking aisle at Whole Foods is where they keep the simple coconut milk. That's what they call it, simple coconut milk. Trader Joe's also has some good coconut milk. But in the ingredients, you just want it to have coconut milk, and it might have a little water added. But that is it. You do not want any guar gum added into your coconut milk. So once you add the coconut milk, you're also going to add the 2 tablespoons of tamari. And while that's cooking, in a cast iron pan, you're going to saute the mushrooms in just a little bit of oil. You can use olive oil or more coconut oil. Add to that 1 teaspoon of the minced garlic, 1 teaspoon of the minced ginger, and cook that a little bit. Then you're going to add 1 tablespoon of the tamari and 1 tablespoon of aji marin. And you're going to cook the mushrooms in all of that until they start to get golden and caramelize. So basically all the liquid will get absorbed and add a really nice glaze on top of the mushrooms. And then you're going to set the mushrooms aside, and those are going to be used on top of the soup. You can now add the broccoli to the soup. Did I not finish telling you the ingredients? I didn't. I'm sorry. With the ingredients, go back to half a bunch of napa cabbage and a half a bunch of broccoli, 1 cup of snow peas, 2 cups of shiitake mushrooms or oyster mushrooms, 2 tablespoons tamari plus 1 tablespoon that we added to the mushrooms, 1 teaspoon salt, the can of coconut milk, and you're going to add now the vegetables to the pot of soup. So you're adding the broccoli to the soup, let that cook for a minute, then add the napa cabbage and the snow peas. And you're really adding those right before you're going to serve it because they just are going to wilt in the soup and get bright green. You don't want to cook them and get the crunch out of them. You really want it to stay fresh. And then you're going to squeeze the lime into the soup, and then you're going to taste it. And you can adjust it by adding more tamari, more lime, even more red curry paste if you felt like it needed that. And then you're going to assemble the soup. You're first going to put some of the noodles in the bottom of each bowl. If you'd like, you can run the noodles under some hot water first or dip it in some boiling water to reheat it. But you don't have to. The soup is so hot also, it will heat up the noodles. But you're going to put the noodles in the bottom of the bowl, then add the soup. Then you're going to top the soup with 2 tofu triangles. Garnish it with some sesame seeds, cilantro, green scallions, and then the sautéed mushrooms on top. And it's a beautiful presentation, and it's just so delicious. And it's really, really warming and healing for this time of year. So enjoy it, and let me know how you like it. You know, I love feedback, so feel free to make a comment on my recipe page at ieatgreen.com. And now it's my pleasure to introduce all of you to Natalie Flores. She is an urban farmer, mother of an adorable toddler, and a community activist that resides in Los Angeles, California. She spent the last 10-plus years learning the benefits of growing your own food and engaging her surrounding community to do just that. Recently, she launched Nourish LA to help secure healthy food items to folks in need in the midst of the pandemic. And with the help of her community, she's now feeding 1,500 people every single weekend. Nourish LA has also helped to launch various gardens in and around the Los Angeles area and has passed out over 20,000 vegetable seedlings to help encourage other people to grow food locally. Her goal is to grow community around food and to encourage green spaces throughout the urban environments. And ultimately, she would like to secure a more equitable food system for everyone, as would I. So it's my pleasure to introduce you all to Natalie. Natalie, are you with me?
I'm here.
Hi. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me, Bhavani.
You're welcome. So I should share with everybody that I have known you for many years as a friend of my daughter's.
Yeah.
And I have really watched you take off from, you know, having a child, going back to school, working with youth in your community for years, and now stepping up to the plate during this pandemic. Can you share with everyone a little bit more about your history, how you got involved with urban farming?
I got involved by actually just volunteering. There is an organization in Los Angeles where I live called Transition Mar Vista, and their aim is to reduce our carbon footprint. And one of the programs they offered was the Good Karma Gardens. So essentially, we would show up at somebody's home. I didn't know who they were, so a stranger's home. And we would convert their front lawn into a garden. We know that growing food is a great way to reduce our carbon footprint because you're getting it from your own front yard, right? Or backyard.
Mm-hmm.
So that was just one of the ways that I got involved. And I fell in love with that act of service. It was a great way to meet really good people that have kind of the same vision as you. It was good exercise, but I was also learning by tangibly doing. And so I wanted to learn how to grow as much food as I could, not coming from a agriculture background. I submerged myself into service, and eventually I traveled Central South America and ended up in Hawaii for a little bit to just learn and grow food. I did the WOOF program, and that just changed my direction of what I wanted to do as I got older. And that was just grow more food in cities, grow more food in urban environments. You know, California grows a lot of the world, a lot of America's food supply. So there's no reason why every resident or every few residents that have homes can't be growing a little bit of food.
Mm-hmm. And when did you do the WOOF program?
I did the WOOF program when I was 24, I believe. I'm 32 now. So it's been many years since I did that. And I did that for 6 months working on a coffee farm. I'd been working at coffee shops at the time. So I was like, well, screw it. I'm going to go see where this magical bean comes from and learn as much as I can. And I actually worked on a coffee farm and fell in love with the farmers, fell in love with the practice of growing some of our most beloved foods. And it just opened my eyes to the service that farmers give to us. We have no idea the labor of love that it takes to grow some of our food. But once you actually see and do it yourself, you have a completely different appreciation for.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I was harvesting my potatoes last weekend, and you know, there weren't that many. We're harvesting potatoes, by the way, it's like a scavenger hunt, you know. It's
The
potatoes are right under the plant. The potatoes,
yeah,
you know, go anywhere underground if they want.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I have this great new tool that you step on and, you know, it has the prongs and carefully uproots the potatoes. And I mean, it took hours, and you know, I didn't end up with that many, 20 pounds or something, and I thought, oh my God. So I could have, you know, in one quarter of the time, gone and bought a bunch of bags of organic potatoes. But it's so satisfying, and eating it, they're so delicious. It's
Absolutely.
Just nothing like it. I still wouldn't trade it.
100% agree.
Can you share with my listeners what WOOF stands for? I don't think everybody listening might know about this program, which is just an amazing program.
WOOF stands for, I think it stands for World Organics, let me remember, WOOF Association. I'm refreshing my memory because it's been years and I kept forgetting even when I was doing it. But basically it's...
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to put you on the spot. But I also forgot.
Yeah, because one of the mnemonics I always forget.
Worldwide Opportunities on Organic Farms.
Yes, that's what it is.
So it's WWOOF.
OOF, yes.
Yeah. Worldwide Opportunities on Organic Farms. And it's a great program. It helps so many farmers out who can't really afford the help it takes, because it takes so much more work if you're not doing everything mechanicalized and you're, you know,
Correct.
Actually doing things by hand. So extra sets of hands, and it's such a win-win situation. It's good for the farmer, and it's great for the person who wants to learn.
Yeah, so essentially the farmers put you up and feed you, and then you are a set of free hands, so it's an exchange of labor. And but it's also great if you wanted to just learn, to just submerge yourself in that type of hands-on knowledge.
Right, right. Yeah, I know many people that have done the program, and everyone loves it. So let's talk about Nourish LA, what you started, this amazing thing that took off. Did you have any idea that it was going to be so successful?
I had no idea whatsoever. I just knew I had to do something. I couldn't sit back and just hear about my neighbors going hungry. It was, to me, that is more insane.
Uh-huh. So how did you start it?
It was actually just by serendipity. It was like our second week into COVID. All the lockdowns had taken place. So there's basically, you know, no traffic on the road and whatnot. My job that I was working at the time, I was helping to manage a big garden. And we had to basically you know, all a bunch of our funding got cut. So like we couldn't have our interns on the farm. We couldn't have our volunteers on the farm. And my job was the community engagement coordinator. So I wasn't able to coordinate my community, which was really frustrating for me, because that's what I do. And I remember thinking like, what am I going to do? This is insane. Like I'm just not one to just sit at home all day and write manuals and do computer stuff. So I prayed about it. I literally prayed about it because I was so frustrated. And my, you know, just by serendipity, my coworker ran into a woman dropping off a large amount of compost. Our garden has a huge compost hub through LA Compost. So we do get neighbors coming to drop off their compost, which we then recycle and turn into soil for our garden. And one of the ladies was dropping off a large amount of compost, and my coworker asked her, where's all that food from? And she told her that she is a volunteer for this organization called Food Cycle LA. So they interrupt the food waste system. So they go to grocery stores and restaurants and help to divert all that food waste from going to waste, get it to folks in need, like help to contribute to these little hub sites. And I said, I got on the phone with her right away and I called them and I said, hey, like, will you guys entrust me with a large amount of this food? I was part of a multiple forums online on Facebook, the LA Moms group, the Buy Nothing group, and I was seeing lots of families asking for food, literally mom after mom mm-hmm. saying, can someone please buy me a pizza? I have no food for my family to eat. My husband just got laid off. I don't know what we're going to eat. And I thought, this is insane. This is crazy. In one of the wealthiest states in America, and the one of the wealthiest nations in the world, and we have people going hungry in our neighborhoods. This is crazy to me. So, you know, the following Sunday, throughout the week, I managed to wrangle all my neighbors and told them to save bags and, you know, rubber bands and whatever they had, so we could help bag some groceries for our neighbors. And they were all up for the challenge. They said, absolutely, we'll save our paper bags, we'll divert them to you. And I just started a little hub site from my garage in Mar Vista. And I asked a couple of my friends from the organization that I was working with, Michael and Mary Fitz, if they would help me like bag up all these groceries. And they hopped on. They just didn't hesitate. So the following Sunday, we opened up the alleyway of my garage, of my apartment building at the time. And we were able to unload a massive amount of food. I mean, thousands of pounds of food. We filled up a huge, huge van filled with food from Bristol Farms, Sprouts, and Trader Joe's. And the food's perfectly fine. You know, sometimes there's like a cracked egg in the dozen. So we would go and clean that. If there's like a bruised apple, you know, you just clean that. We would divert all that to compost. But we ran out of food so quickly. And people were coming with tears in their eyes. Like, I'd just been laid off. I'm on my last $100. Like, I didn't know how I was going to feed my family with just so much gratitude. And I knew the need was even greater than those, you know, 60 bags of food we were able to give away. But I just thought, this is a great place for me to be able to serve. I had worked with lots of different food mitigating organizations, such as Food Forward, Food Cycle, but also the Westside Food Bank. So I had already had contacts with a lot of these people, and I'm a farmer. So all my friends are also farmers or also grow a lot of their own food. So I just started to put a call out, like, if you have food, if you have fruit in your trees, please bring it. And every week, basically, the loaves of bread multiplied, you know, the amount of food that we were able to get and the amount of people we were able to serve just increased by double. So I realized that I didn't have like the proper infrastructure in my alleyway to help, you know, serve all these people. So that's when I reached out to one of my old friends from the coffee shop I used to work at, ironically enough, Demetrius Mavromakalis. And he had just laid off all his employees. So he was sitting on multiple vacant restaurants with refrigeration and, you know, car space and storage. And we basically, I called them and I said, "Hey, like I'm doing this food drive in my alley. Is there any way we could use one of your restaurants while it's sitting vacant?" And he hopped on the opportunity immediately as well. And I remember the first food drive we did at his place was just to serve his employees that he had just let go, which was insane to me. Like insane. It felt apocalyptic almost. But yeah, now we have two running food drives. People could show up on foot or in their car, and we will give them a bag of really good, nourishing food. We've been able to source food from local farmers, people's backyards, farmers markets. Like, you should see some of this food, fresh bread from Seor Bakery, Cast Your Bread, Guy Frankel, one of the best bread makers in America. It's just incredible to see our community working together to make sure that nobody goes hungry.
Oh, that's so wonderful. We have an organization on Long Island called Community Solidarity. They used to be called Food Not Bombs, but then they became a
Oh, yeah, we have food
nonprofit.
not bombs.
Right. But they transitioned to Community Solidarity because I think Food Not Bombs was not a nonprofit.
Oh,
And they wanted to be able to get grants and do fundraising.
I see.
So it's called Community Solidarity now, but they are un believable. They're doing exactly what you're doing. They get a lot of food. The majority of their food, I think, comes from Whole Foods and Trader Joe's, but also other markets and bakeries. And I mean, they have flowers and bread and so many vegetables, and it's all vegan food. I mean, if Whole Foods or Trader Joe's has dairy or, like milk or yogurt to give away, that's fine. They'll take it. But mostly, everything is vegan. And, prior to COVID, they actually would even serve some hot food on the Sunday at the Sunday site. But since COVID, they're not doing that, especially because their numbers have, quadrupled, as I'm sure yours have from the beginning. I think I read you for, started with, handing out groceries for 50, and now it's 1,500. The need is huge, and it has not gotten any easier. We have not given out, our government has not given out any type of checks or support in months now, and and the economy's not coming back, so people are still really hurting. So it's great. So, what kinds of people do you see coming to get the food? Is it just, is it just moms with their kids? I mean, is it majority of moms with kids? Is it families? Is it seniors? What kind of demographics are you seeing?
So we actually, most of the people that we serve are families, four or more plus people per family, and a lot of elders. So we also do deliveries. We deliver to 160 homes. And the reason that we deliver is because we've realized that a lot of people are just completely isolated. A lot of elderly people don't have access or family to food. So we deliver to a lot of seniors and people that don't have vehicles or single moms. And I would say the better part, the large amount of the people that we serve are families, and it's insane. We have a few kids that volunteer with us. They're about 10, and they've seen children from their school come in the lines to get food, and it's just insane, And food insecurity isn't discriminating against anybody right now. It's hitting a lot of people, a
Yeah,
lot.
a lot of people, and a lot of people for their first time too.
We've gotten that too. We've gotten a family saying, "I've never had to ask for anything, but right now I need food."
Really? Natalie, we're going to take a couple minute break. When we come back, I want to talk to you if there's any tips you can give other people who might want to be starting this, how they can get started as well in their own communities. So everyone
Absolutely.
listening, don't go anywhere. I'm speaking with Natalie Flores. She's the founder of Nourish LA, and you're listening to Bhavani at IE Green. Be right back. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. You're listening to Bhavani at IE Green on the Progressive Radio Network. If you're just joining me, my guest today is Natalie Flores. She is the founder of Nourish LA, and she is giving food to those in need in her community, and it's just a wonderful program. So welcome. So, Natalie, right before the break, I was asking you how other people might be able to start something like this in their own communities, because I'm sure the need is still there. I know when the pandemic first started, the public school that I was working at started a food pantry and has also experienced kind of what you're experiencing, although they're not getting getting food from Whole Foods and Trader Joe's. They're getting food from the food bank, so it's not the same kind of quality that you're serving. So can you share some of your tips with my listeners?
Absolutely. I'm so glad you asked, because what I've come to find doing this is that there is enough resources. There's enough food to feed everybody. The problem is that there's not enough, the systems aren't in place, but we as a community, you can gather a small portion of your community to create these systems. And it's as easy as talking to the managers of restaurants, the managers of, who runs the farmers market, different farmers in your area, doing a call out, but just start locally, start in your own neighborhood. You will not believe the amount of food waste that is accessible just in your own neighborhoods. Go to those grocery stores, ask them, where does their food go? Where does, if new inventory comes in, what do they do with that old food? Trader Joe's is amazing because they make sure that nothing goes to waste. They're really good about mitigating, all those prepackaged salads and wraps. They have to get, they have to put new inventory every few days. So you can imagine the amount of food waste just there alone.
Because they have to, they take off the old before they put the new out, and they have to take off the old.
Exactly.
And so, like one little lettuce leaf might be starting to turn, but the rest of it is still good.
The salad bad, correct? So there's just those, there's food waste all around us, but we have to be proactive. We have to email people and call people and literally just say, hey, where is your food waste going? And is it possible that I can grab some of this to feed my neighborhood? One of the things that I forgot to mention that we do is we don't waste anything. So even if we do have perished, wilted lettuce or bruised pears or whatever, we actually mitigate all that food waste to local community gardens. So we have multiple compost hubs that we then distribute all of our food waste to. And it does feel really good to make sure that stuff isn't going to landfill and is helping to create precious soil in our own community. But
yeah,
I just
absolutely.
Say, be proactive. Go to your local grocers, ask your farmers markets. I would like to divert this food waste. And if there isn't a program doing that, start one, because this is a huge need. And there's a lot of accessible funding and grant money for just doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. I've actually heard also of, program of people putting up refrigerators around the community and filling refrigerators. Have you heard about that?
I have. We have them. They're popping up in our communities as well, which is amazing. We just got one in Venice last month, I believe.
Yeah, that's really awesome as well. So you said you're running out of food this week. So what will you do? How will you get enough food for this weekend?
Well, I'll do a call out on our social media, and I'll ask a few of our other partners to do a call out for us. What's great is now companies are starting to take notice of of what we're doing. So we actually have small companies, advertising agencies, and different companies like that also fundraising for us or doing food drives just for us. And with Thanksgiving around the corner, we're going to start seeing, an influx of turkeys and whatnot. So we do have a lot of different moving pieces now that we're a little more established, of people really helping us, and citrus is coming into season. So, we always get people coming last minute that have not even reached out to us saying, hey, I heard about you guys. I want to donate, 500 pounds of oranges for my backyard. So we get a lot of people just through the grapevine bringing us food. It's incredible. But I just keep my faith high and my spirits high, and I just try to stay positive because honestly, I don't know what we're going to get week in and week out. I know the food waste is there, but I can't, you know, for sure say, oh, we're going to get, you know, 500 loaves of bread and whatnot. We don't know until the week comes. Today I actually am going to Santa Monica College. They're one of our partners. So they're donating 100 boxes of pre-made. They're pre-made boxes. They have 30 plus pounds of food in them for a family of four plus. They have everything in them from fruits and vegetables to even meat, milk. Milk is one of the big staples for families, is like, you know, you give your kid a glass of milk. So that's like one of the big staples, and butter. So we're picking up 100 of those pre-made boxes from Santa Monica College. Yep. And then I'm also going to the Westside Food Bank, and basically they just give us anything that they have in excess that's going to go bad, which is most of the time organic produce and farm fresh to you boxes, which are organic. So we just pick up anything that's going to go bad on people's end, and we make sure that people get it before it goes to landfill. That's our.
So how many people do you have gathering food for you? You can't possibly do it all yourself.
Oh my gosh, we have so many moving pieces. So we have about 15 people today going to various locations to just pick up food.
Wow. Uh-huh.
Yep.
That's great.
Minivans, trucks, and lots of helping hands.
Uh-huh. And when you have when you're picking up like the 100 boxes from Santa Monica College, do they have a group at Santa Monica College that puts that together? Is it like a club?
So those actually come from a farm. I believe it's called Sunset Farm, and they are government boxes. So they were given to us by our government, and so they're looking for people that can help redistribute these boxes that have refrigeration. You have to have refrigeration. That's one of the requirements, because they do have perishables. And every now and then a different organization will get, you know, 10 pallets of them. So, you know, thousands of these boxes, and they have to quickly figure out who's going to get those boxes. We're on the top of that list because we have access to refrigeration. Some of the smaller food donation sites don't have refrigeration or don't have enough refrigeration to store so much food.
Right. Yeah, that's a problem. I know. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been cooking for the community in need for the past 25 years. I usually do a huge Thanksgiving, and this will be the first year in 25 years where we're not cooking. And it's, you know, it's so strange because I'm so used to really being busy right now, organizing, you know, cooking for 1,000 people. And so I'm not, but we're still collecting turkeys. But, you know, in California, unlike where I live, you know, people really grow food in California much more than here. You know, there's a lot more farmers. I mean, you said, you know, someone, you know, can donate 500 pounds of oranges from trees in their backyard. Well, we don't have orange trees here.
No.
So, you know, it's a little bit different as far as we really have to depend on either the food banks or Trader Joe type markets that are willing to share, because we don't have, you know, and the restaurants are all hurting. I mean, I know. Restaurants are closed. Under normal conditions, I used to go to restaurants for donations, but I can't even bring myself to ask a restaurant to donate any food right now, because they're so hurting.
Businesses, I would say, if you were starting something like this, ask like businesses and corporations and, you know, advertising agencies and people like that. There are a lot of people during the holidays, they want their companies to give. They want to see, you know, who's doing the work and who can we donate to, or who could we collect canned food for. That's an easy way to do it.
Mm-hmm. And so do you see this as your new calling? Or do you think that this will be stopping after we get a vaccination with COVID?
No, this is never going to stop. Food hunger is an ongoing issue. It always has been. We just saw the cracks, you know, once COVID hit, we saw the cracks in our food system. We saw that
wow, there's, even though this is happening, we have this pandemic, food is still going to waste. This is craziness. So I actually quit my job at Safe Place for Youth and I'm going full time on my own org. I'm literally in the process of building the bones of this organization and board of directors and filling out paperwork for to be a legitimate 501c3 and starting
so you can
get
donations.
Funding. Yeah.
Right.
Starting
because
to get
you also have to make a living. So
yeah,
you need
absolutely.
To get paid.
But what a beautiful thing that, you know, we can make a living off of helping other people and, you know, at the end of the day, feel really good about what we're doing. I feel like I think all my years of urban farming and traveling and working on farms and being of service has brought me to this point. So there is a silver lining in it in the way that, you know, I said I was able to rise up to this occasion and say, I can actually do something about this. What a blessing. So to not do something to me is way, way harder. You know, so I just hopped on this opportunity and now it's taken us this far and I'm going to keep pushing.
That's awesome. Awesome. You know, so often, you know, people, you know, are trying to figure out what they want to be when they grow up or, you know, you study things in school and very often what you study in school is not what you end up doing. I mean, if you follow your passion and you are passionate about something, it leads to your livelihood so often. And
yeah,
that's when
I'm like you, Bhavani, I love food. I love food for all the different reasons, but I love food primarily because it brings people together. It's a basic need that everybody needs. You will not meet people that are like, I don't like good food. Everybody needs good food. And if we're going to be healthy and get through this pandemic, we need to eat well. And that's where we got our name from, Nourish LA.
Yeah, it's so
great. We need
great.
Nourishment.
We do need it. Everybody needs
yeah.
it.
Yes, exactly.
So how can, if people want to volunteer and help or make donations, are you a 501c3 yet? Can they make donations
yes, we
yet?
We got our tax ID number. I'm filling out the last of our paperwork. They can go on our website. That's nourish.la. I'll be updating it a little later. So we'll have different links connected to donate. And we have a sign up genius for people to be able to volunteer. And people can also email us at nourish.losangeles@gmail.com if they want to get involved or if they want to start a food drive for us. That would be, you know, those are some of the ways that they can get a hold of us.
Mm-hmm. That's great. I know I've had people on before where there's, you know, online places where you can donate. You know, you can like kind of pledge 15 pounds of broccoli or 100 pounds of potato. And people can pledge that and then this organization will drop it off. Hold on, I'm going to tell you the name of the organization.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yes, it's really a good one. Hold on a minute. Come on. I've been having technology problems this morning. It's
Me
been
too.
Unbelievable. Let me see. Patrick O'Neill. Amp You're Good is what it's called. Amp You're Good. And you can find them online. You can pledge, you know, and somebody can set up a fundraiser for you and people can pledge. Go to check them out, Natalie. Amp You're
okay,
Good.
I
you
shall.
Can you can
Absolutely.
Start a fundraiser with them. Also, it's also called Give Healthy. And
okay.
people can sign up a drive. And I've done that at my synagogue, you know, during the high holidays for Yom Kippur. It's traditional for people to bring bags of food. But the kind of food you can only bring is canned foods. And I really wanted to get healthy food, fresh produce to the food pantry. So this is a way that you could donate fresh produce to the food pantries. And so you could set it up and collect food that way and people can donate and you can be in control, like say, you know, we want you to drop all the food off Saturday morning at 8 a.m. and they'll drop it off. So
that is amazing.
Yeah, so check them out. They're really, really wonderful. So is there anything I have not asked you that you would like to, any information you'd like to share with my listeners? We have a little bit more time.
Well, one of the things I forgot to mention is the second part of what we're doing is actually passing out seedlings, organic seedlings from Johnny's Seeds. We partnered up with two organizations. One of them is called Shamesh Farms. It's my friend's farms in Malibu and Grow for the Future in Bell, California. So essentially, they have a hydroponic company, and we basically rescue all their leftover supplies, and that happens to be thousands of seedlings. So every Friday we set up at the Wood Cafe, and we're going to start to move around because we want to saturate other areas as well. So we've been doing just the seedling pop-ups for 4 months now, and it's been super successful. We've been able to help to create hundreds of backyard gardens and terrace gardens, which has been amazing. But it's just really cool because, you know, we're passing out food, yes, but another way to help solve this problem is just grow more food locally.
Right.
You know, California gets sunshine all year long, so there is no reason why we shouldn't be growing a little bit of food in our own yards. If possible, mm-hmm. we absolutely should, and this is the perfect time to do it and to also get our families engaged. So we also pass out seedlings, all organic vegetable starts. It's all seasonal. It's all organically grown. And it's also just a really wonderful way to engage with our community and for them to come in with their questions or gardening questions. And also now, since we've been doing this for so long, last Sunday, we got a huge donation of vegetables from someone's backyard from the seedlings we passed out. So this is what I'm talking about. You know, if it's one thing to give out
full groceries,
yes, it's another thing to let the groceries be grown in people's yards. And, you know, the beauty of having a garden is you're not ready for the abundance that it provides, and it's meant to be shared. You know, ultimately we can't eat all that cilantro and arugula ourselves. It's not as enjoyable, you know, but, the beautiful thing is usually a garden provides a bounty, of abundance. And it's so beautiful to see our community also growing food and then sharing what they've grown back with the org. I love it.
Absolutely. So that's like a- and the job that you had prior where you actually went to people's homes and helped them start the garden, has
yep.
that been able to expand so that you're going and helping people put the seedlings in, or are people on their own for doing that?
Yeah, so the gardening business right now, urban farming is at an all-time high. I don't know if you guys know, but right when COVID hit, the seed banks were just emptied out. Like Johnny's Seeds was empty. A lot of the heirloom seed suppliers were just completely depleted of their resources of seeds. And that's because people not only panicked by bought these seeds, but people were like, shoot, I need to grow as much of my own food as possible, which is a silver lining in this, because people realize like, oh crap, you know, if these trucks start moving, we saw that the grocery stores, they were out of a lot of our staples, and it was kind of apocalyptic. So
it was, going into Whole Foods and seeing rows and rows of empty shelves.
I remember no eggs on the, I was like, oh my gosh, but I met a lady that has eggs, has chickens in her backyards. I also know a beekeeper, you know, so keeping some of this old school knowledge and information is really important. It's especially when it comes to your food, people. We can't lose this incredible art, you know, that all of our ancestors have had to do before us to survive. It's just a staple and an essential part of who we are and how we got here. So we can't lose sight of our food. It's just it's so important. And oftentimes just overlooked, you know, life gets busy and it's mm-hmm. easy and convenient to go to the grocery stores. But you saw when, you know, something hits the fan, it's crazy. It is
right.
Crazy.
You see how easy it is for there not
totally.
To be food. For
exactly.
you not, you know, when the system breaks down. And one thing that this really showed so many people is that the huge industrial agricultural system was not able to adapt. What was able to adapt were the local farmers, the local
yep.
communities, just like you.
Yes.
You know, we
CSAs
were able to.
Community farmers markets are up. All that local type of, you know, work has gone up. And those
mm-hmm.
urban farms that you're talking about, my work has doubled. I have people calling me from all over the city saying, hey, help me plant my garden.
Absolutely.
It's crazy. Yeah. So we are partnering up with different neighbors that have large spaces so that other neighbors can farm their backyards. So we're starting a few different projects in the area, and it's just super exciting to see, to just reconnecting neighbors to their neighbors. That's kind of how we have to act, because I mean, it's always how we should act, but I even more so, I hope people step out of their comfort zone and knock on people's doors, especially folks that are elderly. I see a lot of pride in our elders. They just don't want to ask for help. They're not used to asking for help. They've never done that.
Yep.
No. And to me, it's shocking, you know, that they have such a hard time asking for help, but you knock on their door and you ask them for things that they might need. And it's simple stuff, you know, a bag of potatoes, a carton of milk, some eggs. A lot of these folks are afraid to ask for help, and they don't want to leave their homes. They've been told by their doctors they cannot leave.
Right. Right.
So I implore everybody, just knock on your neighbor's door and make sure.
Knock on the door wearing a mask. Do wear a mask.
Yes, of course. Wear your mask and keep your distance, but still be neighborly, or even make a flyer and just put it on their doorstep and say, hey, I'm your neighbor. My name is such and such, and I just want to make sure that you're okay. And if you need anything, please don't, you know, hesitate to reach out. I think we need to be like that, because it will shock you to know that there are neighbors that need help, and they're too prideful to ask for help.
You're so right. Well, Natalie, I want to thank you so much for the work you're doing. It's inspirational. It's so exciting to hear how it's grown and that it's taking off, and you've created a new job for yourself, and it's just beautiful. So congratulations, and keep up the great work. And thank you for joining us. And everyone out there, thank you for listening in. You've been listening to Bhavani at IE Green and Natalie Flores from Nourish LA. And I'll see you all again next week. Have a great week. And bye for now. Yeah.